Alright, grace and peace, friends. I know it's been a while, and this will actually be the trailer for the Uniting Brethren podcast. Take two, that is right. This is trailer two, because, and I know I mentioned this on earlier episodes in which I am, doing away with for a purpose, for a reason, because I have found, you know, by the grace of God, this space in the church, Catholic, where in fact my original intent was to not only be ecumenical in nature, but to highlight brothers and sisters from different denominations, different Orthodox and Reformed and conservative backgrounds, like conservative theologically speaking, and not politically speaking, even though those two tend to go together, and to see how you know, a brother or sister from, say, a church who belongs to a reformational church, and by reformational church, I mean churches that arose out of the continental Reformation and the English, the corresponding English Reformation, and seeing how they get along or have adapted or have at least come to ecumenical unity in a spirit of ecumenical unity together. And that was the original intent of this podcast, to see where, let's say, confessional Lutherans and Orthodox Anglicans meet, or where Reformed Baptists and Lutherans and Orthodox Anglicans meet, and where, let's say, where Presbyterians and Congregationalists and the historic Reformed churches meet. And actually, it surprisingly, in my further studies and in viewing this space that I have will hopefully become a part of as I begin to highlight it, this is actually already a reality, in that I don't have to twist an arm or make pretend that there aren't many differences in matters of adiaphora between adiaphora, my bad, I need to enunciate that properly, between, say, a Reformed Baptist and a, let's say, High Church Reformed Anglican. Now, and I understand these descriptors tend to fall apart because they become redundant, right? We have, Anglo-Catholics, you know, using their title, that descriptor of being an Anglo-Catholic to differentiate themselves from, say, Roman Catholics or Coptic Catholics or Orthodox Catholics, like big O Orthodox Eastern rites and traditions of the church. Right, but that's what Anglican means. It means to be Reformed and Catholic. Whereas to say, like, oh, I'm a Reformed Anglican, well, that's equally redundant, as I've come to understand. Because the fact is, to be Anglican is to be a Reformed Catholic. So either way you go, either way you break it, and the thing with the Anglicanism is it's such a big tent, or such under a big umbrella of theological liberties, and with the core essentials being scripture, sacred scripture, and of course every Anglican, every let's say, confessing or Orthodox Anglican, little o, Orthodox Anglican, is united in their use of the prayer book, the Book of Common Prayer. So, unbeknownst to me, there was already this space to enter into and to add my personal dialogue into. And for those of you who may not know me, I mean, I've been around the let's say denominational block, because for me, I'm always seeking or pursuing the truth. I'm not saying that nobody else is. I'm not saying that Anglicans aren't. I'm not saying that Lutherans aren't, etc., etc. But my point being is outside of a sectarian, let's say it has to be this way, traditionally view, I do believe we can unite together as brethren, as members in Christ's one holy Catholic and apostolic body, as members, brothers and sisters, of the overall, overarching, let's say little o Orthodox, ecumenical, reformed, movement of the church, right? So, out of the Protestant Reformation, we do have, with, I must add that we do not recognize, obviously, the radical Reformation that or reformations that followed out of that, but out of this Reformation, we see key figures such as, of course, Martin Luther, Thomas Cranmer in England, King Henry, of course, John Jewell. We see Philip Melanchthon having this great correspondence and good relations with, the corresponding English reformers and divines. And later on we see a Presbyterianism come to rise and even to take power in places like Scotland and for some time England. And even out of that we see this Baptist movement that had to let's say by using the Westminster Confession of Faith, show that it wasn't some heterodox movement, reformational movement. And I mean, even getting deep down, I feel like I could say that we could even include Methodism, right? Following John Wesley and Charles Wesley. And George Whitefield, who kind of patterned their methodology after the patterns of the earlier Moravian church under Count Nicholas Zinzendorf. Yeah, I'm trying to get that right. German is hard, right? Okay, at least that's cleared up. And we could even say that that was a reformed movement, and much later, of course, again the not to knock it, but the later Anglo-Catholic movement under the Tractarians under Edward Pusey and John Keble and John Henry Newman. We could also consider that a consequence of the Reformation, as the second and third generations are trying to get back to, with scriptural fidelity, what the Reformation was all about, without throwing out the baby, the proverbial baby with the bathwater. So this is all very interesting to me, and I, originally I didn't think there was a way that we could unite or even pull ourselves together, even as members of the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But it dawned on me that we all, each of us, whether you be a Lutheran, a confessing Lutheran, a little o Orthodox Anglican, a Presbyterian, a Congregationalist, let's say conservative Congregationalist, considering, or even like a traditional Methodist or We see the Welsh Church, the church in Wales, being the Methodist Welsh Church, even though it is Presbyterian in polity and in nature. Or we can look to the Church of Scotland, whereas we can look to the Church of Ireland and the Church of England and see they have this Episcopal polity, while the Church of Scotland has this Presbyterian form of polity. So there's just so much here that we could talk about and actually make a show about for all those interested in hearing about it without, being too much on our own personal high horses and falling into what I would call sectarianism or vain sectarianism. Well, I'm a confessing Lutheran and you don't believe X, so you're heterodox. Or, I'm an Orthodox Presbyterian and Lutherans believe in X, so they're not brothers in Christ, so on and so forth. This whole heretic hunting game, it is also vain. It's also vanity because there's so much we could do together and not apart from each other to further share the gospel of our Lord and Savior with a watching and waiting world, right? Should not surprise anyone that we're in some very trying times, especially as the church. So we ought to be the church. We ought to be the witness of Christ, as little heirs of Christ, sharing his very word with the watching world. I'm not really revamping. I'm actually going back to my original intent for the show to show that we're not so different, you and I. We're not so different at all. So, this has been the second or third official trailer, but we're just gonna say this is the Uniting Brethren trailer, take two. Please subscribe on Spotify, on Google Podcasts, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you catch us. I use Anchor FM as my streaming services, and as well as for distribution, distributing the podcast. So, without further ado, I welcome you all to the Uniting Brethren podcast. Cue Mork and Mindy. Okay, nobody's gonna get that. Spock? No? All right. Well, I'm out. This has been the brief trailer. Thank you for listening.